So the topic tonight, as you're aware, is the anatomy of an apology. And I'd like to start with one of the greatest lies in American literary as well as cinematic history, which took place in the 1970 romantic drama Love Story, which I was not around when it came out, but I have since heard of it, during which a line is repeated often, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." Wonderful, wonderful line, that love means never having to say you're sorry. The only problem with that is that it's blatantly not true, as anyone who's been involved in any type of relationship, be it a marriage, be it with parents, children, colleagues, coworkers, human nature is such in which we make mistakes. It's reality. It's how we live our lives. We are not perfect beings, and as such, mistakes occur. Sometimes the mistakes occur by accident, a simple moment of forgetfulness, and we do or say something that we didn't intend. We do or say something that we should have. The person is offended. A relative relationship is hurt. Sometimes in an actual moment of anger, in an actual moment of vengeance, we actually do things on purpose sometimes in which another person ends up being hurt. And the very fact that there's a relationship, that there is a love, or it's not a love in terms of a spousal or family relationship, but there's a relationship that actually demands the need to say, "I'm sorry." It's almost very similar to Hakaras HaTov in terms of giving thanks. When you, a stranger opens up the door for you, so it's very easy to say, a very heartfelt, "Thank you very much, I really appreciate that." When it's a loved one who does something significant for you, it becomes much more difficult to acknowledge and appreciate, really, what was done, because the relationship is more significant, and to acknowledge makes it a little bit more difficult. And the same thing is true with apologies. If you're in the train on the way to the airport, and your bag accidentally bumps into somebody, knocks them over, everybody would say, a real heartfelt, "I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to do that, I apologize." Yet when we do that in our own families, in our own relationships with our colleagues at work, and we accidentally hurt somebody, it becomes much more difficult to actually and honestly apologize. But it's part of life, it's part of our natural existence that it is required to say, "I am sorry." And thereby, one would think that we should be experts at apologizing. Since we are experts at making mistakes, we're pretty good at that, and we're pretty good at the need for an apology, you would think that we would be very good at this point in our lives at knowing how to apologize and make that an effective mend of the relationship. But as all of you have experienced, as I have, it doesn't always seem to work. Sometimes you feel like you're apologizing, and you're sure that you meant it. And you really did. And you thought about it. And you say your apology, and you can tell it didn't work. Something about it didn't hit its mark. And the offended party doesn't feel you're sincere or that you meant it. There's something missing in that which is going on. And we've been on the opposite end also, where someone apologizes to us, and the relationship isn't where it was before. Like, you knew you were at a certain place, something happened, the person apologizes, and you just feel that there's something missing in the apology. So what I'd like to do tonight for the first half of tonight's session is work through various languages of apologies, the anatomy of different types and categories of apologies, things which you'll see, you'll intuit, are familiar, but actually break down different components to an apology and see and experiment how each one of us as individuals actually have a different language, if you will, of the type of apology that we're looking to hear and that we prefer to give. This is the format that I'm going to use is based on a book by a fellow named Dr. Gary Chapman. But you'll see, it's really straight out of a Rambam. All that he did is he categorized it in a certain language. But as Rabbi Solomon will then complete the session, everything that we're going to talk about tonight is straight out of very old traditional Jewish sources as far as what comprises an apology. We'll start with it in the human aspect, and Rabbi Solomon will take it from there and fill us in as far as the human to God aspect as the Aseret Yemei Teshuva come and Slichos begin for tonight. So what I'd like to do is I have these cards. Do a little activity first to begin the evening. Just pass these around as we go through. As you'll see, on the side of the card that has more words, there are two cases. So as these get worked around, the case number one, which I will say out loud as the cards are being passed around, is the following scenario. And after the following scenario, there are five possible apologies associated with this scenario. And the scenario is as follows. Case number one. During Shabbat lunch, might have happened to one of you this fine afternoon, your host makes a comment about you in front of the rest of the company that, while funny, leaves you embarrassed and hurt. Everybody's there, everybody gets a good laugh, but the good laugh is at your expense. Right before dessert, your host, recognizing what they did, pulls you aside in the kitchen and apologizes. And they offer one of the following five apologies that's on the card in front of you. And for each one of you, I would like to take a moment, read through these five apologies, and determine if there is one, possibly two, maybe even three, that you would like to hear in that scenario. You've just been offended as a guest by a host who made a funny comment, and everybody had a good laugh, and you agree that it's funny, but at the end of the day, it was hurtful, and you're a little bit embarrassed. And now he or she is trying to apologize, and offers one of the following five languages in case number one. Take a moment, think about it, and determine. Now, it would be expected that you might have more than one. You might want to hear two or three, and it'd be clear that these things don't mean anything to you. But read through them, take a moment, and decide what it is that you would prefer to hear. Okay, so we have five possibilities over here. Five possibilities. Number one, I'm so sorry I embarrassed you in front of the company. I know that you were hurt by what I said, and I wish I wouldn't have said that. If you flip over the card to the other side, we have the five languages of apology listed there in the same order as our A through E. This is what we would call acknowledging the hurt and expressing regret. This statement, very often when we want to accept an apology, when someone did something wrong to us and they want to apologize, what we need to hear is that they acknowledge the pain that we were caused by what they did. Something happened in our example. I was embarrassed at the Shabbos table. I'm hurt. Everybody was laughing at me, and it bothers me. And when the person comes to apologize, the most fundamental thing that I need to hear from them is that they recognize my hurt, that they see that I'm hurt, and they acknowledge that what they did caused me to be hurt and embarrassed, and then they regret having done that. That language would sound something like, A, I'm sorry I embarrassed you in front of the company. I know that you were hurt by what I said, and I wish I wouldn't have said that. Now, it's not so easy always to do that, to be able to get into the mind or the feelings or the emotions of the person whom you offended, but it's essential as an element of an apology. Some people need to hear it. Some of us, we cannot get past the fact that if you don't verbally acknowledge how I am feeling, how I was hurt, what you did to offend me, I can't accept the apology. There's something fundamentally missing in your apology because you missed what it is that happened to me. Now, as we go through all five, we'll contrast them and show how all of these are true. They're all part of an apology, but very often our statements only touch on one or the other. Let's go to the second one and to expand how this works. Number two, which we defined it, will be defined on the other side of the page, accepting responsibility and admitting fault. Now, we as human beings are very good at pushing off the blame. It's somebody else's fault. Like an apology that comes with a but at the end is right away saying, yes, this happened, but you're really the problem. You caused it. If you wouldn't have done this, and I wouldn't have done that, or this wouldn't have happened, and we don't, at the end of the day, have the buck stop right here. I made a mistake. And it's an important part of an apology just to acknowledge that. I'm not saying what your hurt is, and I'm not regretting it. It's just a statement of fact that says, I was wrong. And I was preparing this on Thursday or Friday, so I had in my notes that children are very good at the opposite of this. When children, things just happened. It wasn't my fault, it broke. And I have that example in my notes, and tonight, as I was putting one of the kids to bed, one of the older kids said, what happened to my Lego? And one of the other kids called out, I was holding it and it broke. I think he just said that. That's exactly, so that's the way I actually, you were holding it, and it, like, magically, I don't know what happened. I was holding it, and it just, poof, it broke. Now, we do the same thing as adults. That sounds to the listener, if it's not ourselves speaking, just as funny. Like, did you really just say that? That wasn't your fault that you did that because of something else that you came up with? That's ridiculous. It sounds as silly as a child holding the broken thing saying, Mom, I don't know what happened, it broke. But we do that. And there's an aspect of an apology that says, I am wrong. I apologize for what I did, and I am at fault. It's nothing that you did. You didn't precipitate it. I did this, and I apologize for it. And that would manifest itself in the sentence of B, I was totally wrong for saying that. I pull you aside in the kitchen, and I say, I embarrassed you. I had a funny comment. I was wrong for doing that. It was inappropriate. It showed poor judgment on my part. Period, end of story. I take the blame, and there are many of us, if we're looking to hear an apology, it's not enough that you recognize the pain that I'm in of number one. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that you said you were wrong. Many, 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 many fights, particularly in a home, but in many other aspects, centers around, until you say you were wrong, we can't move on in the relationship. Because the offended party knows that you were wrong. And you could say every other form of an apology. You can acknowledge the hurt, and you could promise never to do it again. But if I don't hear the words, you were wrong, the apology is incomplete. I can't move on. I have to hear that phrase, that you acknowledge that the fault rests upon you, and you alone for what you did. I might also have been wrong in this argument. Every argument has two sides. And maybe I have to do that on my aspect. But you have to take responsibility for that which you did. Those are the first two languages. I just want to stress again the differences between them. The first one is getting into the head of the offended party, acknowledging the hurt, acknowledging the pain. I'm sorry and regretting it. I'm sorry that I caused you that hurt. I know that you were embarrassed at the table in front of all of your friends and family. I'm sorry that I did that. And the second language is not acknowledging your pain, but stating as a fact from my end, I was wrong. That was inappropriate what I did. I'm sorry that I did that, and I know that I shouldn't do that because it's the wrong thing to do. Those are our first two languages. Language number three is defined as making restitution, or how can I fix this? Which is not acknowledging the pain in the beginning, not stating the joy, it's just saying, we need to move forward. The relationship has been damaged, and an apology that comes from me has to include how am I going to move forward, to fix that which I did wrong. Something has happened, you've been hurt and offended, and now I need to fix that. There's a problem here. As the whole table was laughing at you 20 minutes ago, what are you going to do to fix that? So this sounds like sentence C, I want to fix that. I'm going to publicly apologize at the table in front of everybody. I realize that I was the problem, everybody was laughing because of me, at you, and I'm going to go back and in front of those people who I embarrassed you in front of and say, I was wrong, I just want to apologize publicly to so-and-so, I'm sorry that I did that. What else can I do to make it better? Very often in a relationship where there's been damage done, the offended party needs to get the sense from the offender, well, what are you going to do to fix this? This relationship is damaged, it's hurt, and I'm suffering because of it, and I need to know, what are you going to do about it? Now, this comes out in a funny scenario, not to say funny, but it's sometimes when you have people who focus on different languages. I was once involved in a situation where I had done something wrong, and a full day goes by while I was working on what was for me, what I thought was appropriate, was to focus on B, on acknowledging that I was at fault. It took me a day because it was a sensitive issue, but I was at fault, and I spend an entire day working on getting up the nerve and the courage to approach the offended and saying, I was wrong, it was my fault, I'm sorry. So here I got to that point, sit the person down, and I acknowledge, I was at fault, I'm sorry. And the person says to me, it took you a whole day to say that? Of course it was your fault. What are you going to do about it? And nothing had been accomplished, because for me, the entire focus was acknowledging that I was wrong, and which was a big deal, because if that's my language, then I need to be able to try to admit to a mistake. I finally did it, and for the person who I was apologizing, it was irrelevant. Like, whose fault did you think it was? Of course it's your fault. It took you a whole day to come up with that. I'm looking for, how are you going to fix this problem? And I would walk away, like, I thought I apologized, but I clearly did it. And I was at least lucky to have gotten that response that told me I didn't apologize. But many times we will go through this, and the person on the receiving end is thinking that you haven't apologized. Until you fix the problem, there's no apology here. Whereas the one doing the apology thinks they actually spent a lot of time and effort getting to a point where they have apologized, but it missed the mark because the person is speaking a language where they need to hear, what are you going to do to fix the problem? Number four, what we would call a Kabbalah al Ha'asid, accepting upon oneself that it won't happen in the future. It won't happen, things will be different. Very often an apology, if it's happened once, twice, three times, or even just once, the offended party, I don't need you to know that I'm hurt. I know that I'm hurt. You know that I'm hurt. And I don't need you to accept responsibility because we both know it. You're at fault. I need to know that this is the last time it's going to happen. And until you commit to me and you say, I made this mistake, but don't worry, I'm doing X, Y, or Z, I'm working on this, I've taken these steps, it won't happen again. And until I hear you say the words, this is the last time it's going to happen, it's incomplete. Your apology falls short because, yeah, sure, you're apologizing now, but you know what? Until I hear that commitment that it's not going to happen again, I'm not comfortable with this. We're not done. I need to hear the words, the concept that you're doing something, not just to fix the problem, not just to acknowledge my hurt, not just to say that you're at fault. What are you doing to convince me, who's been offended, that I will not have to deal with this again? What steps are you taking and how are you committing yourself that this is the last time that this will take place? I shared this idea with somebody, a friend of mine, as I was just working through. I shared the five different languages and I said to him, have you ever experienced this? Do you know what I'm talking about? And he says, he reads through them and he says, wow. So my child, he has a young child, a four-year-old child, that often gets put in timeout for a certain type of misbehavior, and the child needs to apologize before getting back out. That's the rule they set up, whatever particular offense this child did. So generally, mom is home with the child during these incidents. So child is put in his room, mom comes by, says, do you have anything you want to say? And he apologizes. This particular instance, dad was home when the particular behavior manifested itself. Dad puts the child in his room, comes back over after 2 minutes and says, do you have anything you want to say? And the child says, I'm sorry for what I did. And dad says, that's not an apology. The child says, well, what do you mean? I just said, I'm sorry for what I did. And dad says, that's not an apology. The child says, I do this every time with mom, and I go out back to the arena, I'm playing with everybody. Like, what do you mean that's not an apology? And dad says, until you say you won't do it again, you haven't apologized. And I showed him the card, and I was just asking him, like, have you ever seen anybody? And he says, that's so fascinating that my wife is clearly speaking a language of regret, and as soon as the child acknowledges the regret for what he did, mom says, great, that's a great apology, you're out of here. Dad doesn't speak the language of regret. Dad wants to know that this is the last time this is going to happen. And until the child says, I won't do it again, he hasn't heard an apology. Child has actually said the words, I'm sorry for what I did. Can I go now? And dad says, you haven't apologized. And he was amazed, the person I was speaking to, this friend of mine, at how the different languages that he and his wife spoke manifested itself in terms of what they expected from the child as to what did the child need to do to apologize for his misbehaviors, because they were addressing two totally different issues. Is it a matter of regret, or is it a matter of accepting that it's not going to happen again? And the child could be quite confused in the same way that we often are in our relationships, because we often think of whatever language we speak, we sort of assume everybody else does that. So whatever we're working on our own personal apologies, whatever it is that we think we want to hear, we assume that's what everybody wants to hear, when in reality is it's not that way. I did this activity in one of the marriage seminars that I taught recently, and I don't get the exact number, 70 or 80% of couples actually have very different languages in terms of what constitutes an apology, which is a very important piece of information to be aware of if you can go through an entire life together and one spouse is constantly using one language and it's not hitting its mark because the other spouse speaks a different language. Parents and children, colleagues at work, it's a critical factor not just to be aware of your own language as to what you look for, but what are the people whom you're apologizing to, what are they looking for that you actually have been able to genuinely express your regrets, or you're acknowledging the pain that the other person's in to be able to successfully apologize. Fifth language is defined as requesting forgiveness. To actually say the words, will you forgive me? This, in a larger scale, Rabbi Feldman and I debated whether or not we should forgive the Germans last week. This particular language is one that I heard a lot of when it comes to that discussion of, they never asked for forgiveness. That's the main, how can we forgive them? Nobody is asking us for forgiveness. And there's an aspect of, if you want to be forgiven, you have to come and ask, do you forgive me? There's an aspect of just accepting or requesting, acknowledging the humility required to stand before the offended party and say, will you please forgive me? And that would manifest itself as language, I didn't intend to hurt you, and now all I can do is humbly request your forgiveness, or something along those lines of defining what that is. Those are the five basic language, the five different components of what an apology constitutes. Now, of course, the perfect apology includes all of them. It includes acknowledging the hurt that you caused and expressing regret that you did it and accepting the responsibility of it and fixing the problem of whatever that you did wrong, accepting that it will never happen again, and humbly asking for forgiveness. And if you're able to pull all that off, that's fabulous, and you won't have any problems. But most of us struggle with any level of apology, and to be aware in practical terms as to what these components are. And again, I am convinced that I didn't say anything tonight that you weren't all familiar with. These are all very common terms and expressions of forgiveness, but when you put it in context as to what it would actually look in a particular scenario, you see there are actually very different ways that we speak and things that we need to hear from a person to know that they are genuinely sorry. And if that's the language you speak and you don't hear it, you will never be convinced that the person is genuinely sorry, because if I need to hear that they acknowledge my pain and I don't hear it, the apology falls short. So let's take a look at the second case, just to, after having gone through the first case and gone through that, reading this again. You discover that a good friend broke his or her promise of secrecy and shared some personal information about you that you had told him or her in confidence. Common problem that we have talking to somebody, close friend, you share some personal information, and before you know it, you hear that personal information from somebody else. Put two and two together, and you know this is the person who's sharing it. Very hurtful, very offensive, very violating that that person had shared that information. That requires an apology. It's a very serious offense to a relationship. Well, now the person calls you to apologize. What do you want to hear when you have that scenario? Work this through, just going through the different languages to be able to identify, as just for worth the exercise of being able to identify the language that we speak, to recognize which one of, now again, as I said in the beginning, many of us speak multiple languages. We need to hear at least two, if not three. Some of us are focused on just one, but just to be able to go through the exercise and recognize the languages that we speak. A, just to read it through together, I didn't realize how much damage I was doing by telling your secrets. You are probably very hurt and embarrassed. I am so sorry that I violated your trust. A statement that recognizes the pain, the suffering, the embarrassment, the violation that the person is feeling. Acknowledge it. I hear what I did. I understand what I did, and I regret that I did that. Language B, accepting responsibility. I gave you my word, and I broke my promise. There's no excuse for that. Acknowledge it. That's a tough thing to acknowledge when we're the violators of violating someone's trust. It's hard to say those words, I violated your trust. You trusted me, and I didn't come through. But somebody who was offended in such a powerful way needs to hear that you recognize that you violated your trust. You're at fault, and that violation is very painful. Versus language number, letter C. What can I do to fix this? Making the restitutions. I'll speak to the person I told this information to and explain that it was not supposed to be shared. In this particular instance, which is a Lashon Hara kind of instance, this type of case, my concern is the offended party. Like, what's going to happen now? Now that information is out there, and it's hard for me to forgive you as long as I know it's still floating out there. And I need to hear, therefore, that you're going to do something about that. You're going to address that situation. How are you going to attempt to fix this, to stop it in its tracks? And I need to hear you being able to do that. D, accepting that it won't happen again. I know you might not be comfortable sharing private matters with me for a while. I want you to know that I'll be working hard from now on to prove to you that I'm trustworthy and this will not happen again. I understand how important it is. And C, asking for forgiveness. Our friendship is really important to me. Will you please consider forgiving me for this mistake? It's an exercise to be able to identify for yourself what it is that you speak. For the close relationships that you have, whether or not it's a spouse, parent, child, colleague, it's a great exercise to be able to figure out if it's a type of relationship where you can actively just ask and say, like, what language do you speak? Or just figure out by listening to any one of those types of relationships. Whatever language they speak is however they apologize to you is probably the language that they speak and they want to hear from you. Being able to identify what is necessary for a component in the effective apology is one of the key steps to being able to do so. And as we said in the beginning, we all make mistakes. That's the human condition. What's critical is being able to fix, to mend, and then move forward in a relationship, and to be able to take that step, and knowing how to effectively do that is the first step of the Yemei Slicha, both in our interpersonal relationships and then, of course, with Hashem. With that, I'll turn it over to Rabbi Salman, who will take this idea of the aspects of apology in terms of how it affects our relationship with Hashem and the Yemei Slichos, which we are beginning in a few moments.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.